Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Yes, we're making babies with Professor Shane Higgins, who's the master of the National Maternity Hospital. He's here to answer all of your questions this afternoon. Shane, how's things?
Very good.
Yeah,
Andrea,
all
you.
Well.
Yeah, all good.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. So over the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about getting your body ready for pregnancy for both the male and female. Last week, we were talking about understanding ovulation, what to do and when to do it. Literally, if you want to listen back to those podcasts, they're on the News Talk and the Go Loud app. You can subscribe there to Lunchtime Live. Today, though, we're chatting about if you're struggling to conceive, what's the first step? Where do you go? Who do you talk to? And I suppose they're the things we want to chat about today, because I think, Shane, I remember from last week you mentioned if you're under 36 years of age and you've been trying for about 12 months, this is probably a conversation for you. Or if you're over 36 and trying for 6 months, this is really the next 15 minutes you'd probably tune in for.
Yeah, absolutely, Andrea. And I think we kind of mentioned last week as well about, you know, you ovulate 12 times a year if you have a regular menstrual cycle. Obviously, you wouldn't leave at 12 months if you're having irregular periods and therefore perhaps not ovulating as regularly as you might hope or expect. So, but you're absolutely right. That's kind of the broad brush age group, less than 36, more than 36. Your first point of call would be to go to your GP, who will commence the process by doing a very detailed history, looking at, do you have any medical conditions or surgical conditions that might have impacted? Have you been pregnant before? Your lifestyles, your habits like smoking, alcohol consumption. These are all the questions of the GP. And they'll start giving you advice at that point in time about what's the best BMI, how much exercise should you do, what you should be eating, supplements, vaccines. And we've touched on these before. But that's kind of that's your level one. That's your entry level set of investigations. Very important, very relevant. And your GP then will point you in particular directions. But if you've been trying for a while and you feel that your lifestyle choices and your exercise, etc., is all in keeping with good choices, then you should be then, without delaying it, be referred on to a fertility clinic where they can start to do the baseline set of investigations. And they are checking that you are ovulating every month, whether you have or believe you are or not, checking to see if your fallopian tubes are patent, and a seminal analysis on the male partner. And what they'll do is if you're ovulating every month, then that's dealt with, that's taken care of. And they can do that by doing those day 21 progesterones that we mentioned previously. Tubal patency will be any one of a number of tests to check to see that the egg and sperm can meet, and that's imperative for pregnancy to take place. And then the third test will be seminal analysis, where they look at several factors, the volume of the ejaculate, the number of sperm per mil, the millions of sperm per mil, motility and morphology. So there are very specific criteria that they look at that would indicate whether the seminal sample is appropriate.
Okay, so the first instance, you should go to the doctor, but you don't necessarily have to, do you? You can just go direct to a fertility clinic.
You can self-refer to private fertility clinics. To access one of the six public fertility hubs, you have to be referred
to by
your GP.
Yeah, okay. And there's obviously then strict criteria around that. So if you're not happy, maybe at the, you know, you've been trying for a while, nothing has happened, you now feel you want to get some kind of intervention or at least find out these first steps, those two tests you mentioned are the two starting points, I suppose.
Yeah, the ovulation, tubal patency and seminal. And in fact, that's the cornerstone of investigations for infertility. You may end up at some point, if you have a history of conditions like endometriosis or pelvic infections, a laparoscopy might also be recommended or undertaken to see if you have significant endometriosis, which can obviously affect how the tubes function or how the ovaries release an egg. If they're covered in adhesions, then that might be something that would need to be tackled operatively. And it also gives you another opportunity to look at the tubes from inside the abdomen, which, and it's the only way you can do that, to see if they look normal, if there's kinking, if they're stuck in any way, which would again lead to problems conceiving.
Okay, this listener, 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. This texter, Shane, says, I've been trying for almost 2 years. I've had all the tests done. They come back with nothing. Apparently, both myself and my partner are perfectly healthy. I've had 3 early miscarriages with no real explanation. I don't really know what to do. I can keep trying, but without answers, I feel it's pointless and heartbreaking. Any advice?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, absolutely. Lots of advice. Well, I think, first of all, the patient has conceived 3 times. And that's important to put that down there and put it down as a marker. You have gotten pregnant. So you now need to be investigated for recurrent pregnancy loss or recurrent miscarriage. And one of those tests would be to send any tissue that's removed from the uterus to laboratories so that it can be analysed, just to look at the cells, but more importantly, to look at whether there's a genetic or chromosomal problem which might be contributing to the pregnancy losses. So yes, absolutely, that person needs to be referred, but not necessarily to an infertility clinic. But if you do suffer from what you've just described as unexplained infertility, and that affects 10 to 30% of couples who are going down that route of investigation, so everything appears to be normal, they're ovulating, their tubes are patent, their seminal analysis is normal, you can't find a cause, that's a group who need to be referred on for assisted human reproduction. That's where IVF, ICSI, comes into its own.
What's ICSI?
ICSI is intracytoplasmic sperm insemination. So instead of just trying to put an egg and sperm together and hope for the best, you actually get a sperm and you put it inside the egg so that you maximise the chances for fertilisation to take place. It's a very specific,
specialised
test.
Okay.
Or treatment.
This texter, Shane, says, I've had 2 rounds of IVF. We got 4 embryos the first time, but none of them lasted long enough for the PGT testing. The second time we only got 1 embryo, so didn't bother with the testing and did a transfer, which failed. Mm-hmm. My doctor mentioned egg donation as a possible option. We've had loads of tests and have always been told my eggs are fine. So why would I go to egg donation next?
Well, because you can either continue to go down and pursue pregnancy with your own eggs, or you can take a leap of faith and say there is something that perhaps hasn't been identified to date, and therefore you would look to see if a donor egg. And again, we know that eggs might appear normal and you are ovulating, but the quality of the egg is different. We know that the quality of the egg diminishes with advancing maternal age. So the older the mother is, the poorer the quality of the egg. So if that's a factor in terms of your fertility treatments, then your providers, the fertility clinics, will be advising you appropriately, probably for the most part, to say, look, donor egg is an option and something you should consider. So if you are a mother who's perhaps in her early 40s, who's considering another round of IVF, then certainly donor egg is something you should consider.
You should consider. Okay. This listener says, if you've started your periods at the age of 9, is there likely to be an effect on your fertility? Or what would the over or under 36 guideline age be lowered?
Absolutely not. No, I think I said last week, you're born with all the eggs on your ovaries. They just ripen and are released at monthly if you are having regular periods. So you have an abundance of eggs. And there is a test, and people have heard of it, the AMH, which gives you an indication of your ovarian reserve. And you can get that done either through your GP or through a fertility clinic. And it would be part of the standard set of bloods that you'll get done in your fertility clinic. And that gives you an indication of how much reserve there is. And there are guidelines, for age-specific guidelines, for what the level should be. And that can give you a kind of a pointer as to where you might be going next.
Okay, so is that nearly one of the first tests? That
would be one of the tests that they would do at a fertility clinic if you were sent there. They'd be checking your hormone profile, your pituitary gland for LH, FSH, your ovarian function. We test for some male hormones as well in that, because that can be part of, for example, a PCOS picture might have an impact on your fertility, and that's something you want to find out through these levels and ratios of blood.
For people with polycystic ovaries or PCOS, you know, struggling to maybe conceive, what's your advice to them? Or
that advice would probably start with going to your GP again and getting, first of all, a diagnosis. And that's done on the basis of blood results and an ultrasound scan showing that your ovaries have polycystic features, which, you know, multiple small cysts on your ovaries. You can do some corrective effect or work by modifying lifestyle choices, weight, BMI, exercise, strength and conditioning training, These are things that will help modify your weight and may help with ovulation if that's a key factor in the PCOS picture. But again, going to see your specialist, your GP, maybe endocrine specialist assistance and fertility treatment.
Okay. This listener, Shin, says, how common is subfertility and is it permanent? Should I keep trying or how do I know when to give up?
Well, I would certainly strongly say don't ever give up. One in six couples will suffer from fertility issues and will seek assistance in conceiving. So it's far more common than people might suspect or imagine. I think if you are at a point, a crossroads in your life, I would certainly say go to see specialist providers in terms of fertility clinics and get their advice on what would be the best course of action. And it's not always, you know, your own egg and sperm. Sometimes if there are problems, it's donor egg, it's donor sperm, or it's both donor egg and sperm. And that's all available now. So I certainly wouldn't give up the possibility of having a baby or the ambition or desire to have a baby. I would pursue it.
Okay. This texter is wondering, this listener says, I've been told that places like Prague have higher success rates in things like IVF. Why would that be? Are there just different treatments and medications available that perhaps aren't allowed here?
No, that's not the case. No, well, no. In terms of the standard approach to IVF, ICSI, the Irish fertility clinics have as good a rate as anywhere else. There are certain treatments that certainly were more available overseas than they were in Ireland, but that's certainly not the case anymore. Most treatments are now becoming available in Ireland. But just going back to the patient who's thinking of giving up on it, I mean, there are patients attending most of the maternity hospitals in the country now who are into their late 40s and occasionally into their early 50s who are having babies. So don't let age be a barrier.
Don't let it be a barrier. No. Yeah, okay. My husband has been told that he is something similar to varicose veins in his genitals and it's impacting his sperm. I'm wondering, is this common and is he likely to need an operation?
Well, it's a varicocele and yes, it is. It can affect sperm production, and if that is affecting his sperm in terms of his seminal analysis, then yes, he'd have to have that treated.
And who would you go to? Who do you go to for that?
Well, urologist is usually the person who deals with male genital problems. So it would be a urologist.
That's GP, and then look for referral onwards. Yeah.
If the GP has made the diagnosis, then he'll know exactly who to refer you to. If it's a fertility clinic that's made the diagnosis, they know also who to refer you to.
Yeah. This texter says, I don't want to give up, but I found the whole issue around fertility so expensive. I've had three rounds of IVF privately. Does that mean that I could perhaps get anything in the public system? I don't know if I could even afford to pay for another round of IVF.
Yeah, there are specific criteria that gets you into the public system, and I can't say for certain that having a baby before, certainly having a baby with your current partner before, would exclude you from that system. But I don't know if you've done IVF privately would exclude you. So you could just check that with your GP. But you'd need to go to your GP for that first referral.
Yeah, I know from talking to people over the years, Shane, about this, it is it's a daunting experience. It's a lot to consume, isn't there, information-wise?
It is, and it puts an enormous amount of stress on couples to go down the road of IVF. And if you have to do that, then absolutely do that. But I think giving yourself time, modifying your lifestyle choices, but giving yourself that time then to see if you can conceive spontaneously will take a huge amount of stress off, rather than going early to IVF, because I've seen it in my own patients and I discourage them from doing it too early. I said, give yourself a little bit of time. Every obstetrician in the country will have patients who were about to embark upon an IVF program and find themselves pregnant. So yeah, it's always possible.
Okay. Listen, loads more questions coming in that I've no doubt we will put on the list for next week as well. There was just one I just very quickly wanted to mention about a premature baby. Everything worked out, thank God. Professor Higgins was in with us, a lovely man. I'm wondering, would it be safe to try for another baby?
Yeah, so absolutely. If you've had one preterm birth before, then it increases your risk to about 30% of having one in a subsequent pregnancy. If you've had two, it increases it to about 60%. The problem is you can't really tell when that preterm birth is going to happen. And the earlier it happens, the more problems there would be for the baby. Certainly the bigger hospitals in the country now have preterm birth clinics, where if you have a history of a preterm birth, if you have a history of surgery on your cervix, if you have a history of being born with an abnormality of your uterus, these clinics are established to really intensively monitor these patients with a view to putting in a stitch, a cervical stitch, starting them on progesterone, and trying to get as much out of the pregnancy in terms of gestational age before the baby's born, because it has a real beneficial impact on the baby to be in there for as long as possible.
Shane will be back this time next week. Professor Shane Higgins, Master of the National Maternity Hospital. Shane, thanks a million.
Thank you,
for joining us. Not at all, here on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.